Anthony, Blake, and Dylan, the Cold Sliced. Ooh.
Welcome back to the Cold Sliced. We're sitting here with Richfield Craft Brewing, the owners, Steve and Ari. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
These guys were gracious enough to show us around. It's Richfield Craft Brewing Week, so you're going to see four videos, I think. Basically about how they brew their beer, what that process looks like, and then on top of that, you'll obviously see it in brewery kind of video as well, which comes out on Friday. Probably.
Get into specifics right now.
That's the death of me, for sure. Yeah. So we're going to jump right into questions. Like I said, you guys are going to have plenty of content about these guys, but we're going to do kind of a deep dive. So the first one we have is first beer either one of you tried when you were younger.
Mhm. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. You guys might not even recognize this name, but first beer I ever had was called Löwenbräu.
Oh my god. I think, are they still in business?
I
don't think
so.
I have heard of them.
That was a long time.
I don't know why. Maybe like a Christmas story. Like you got a can of it laying around or something
out there. I think the best way to describe it is like an equivalent to today's Bud Light, probably. Like back then it was like, okay, the fancier Bud Light maybe. And sure. So huh. As a younger person, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's
like
banquet.
Yeah, right. Banquet. Yeah.
Yeah, the
exactly.
First beer I ever had, I was hooked on Coors Light. Just like that was my first beer. And then I just, for about 10 years, I only drank Coors Light.
It's like that. He finds the one thing he likes, and then he's like, I'm not expanding from here. This is it. This is it for me.
I think doctors have a name for that one.
What was your first beer?
Mine, I don't remember. It was cake stands in my parents' basement, so I'm not quite sure. It was fun, though.
You were the fun house. It was upside down. Yeah. The bread struck.
That's funny. All right, well, to piggyback off of that then, what inspired you to start brewing? Like, was it that brand of beer and you're like, this is it? I think I'm going to...
Absolutely not.
The best Löwenbräu I've ever seen.
Yeah,
definitely not the Löwenbräu. I actually have some pretty deep roots in the brewing industry. One of my grandfathers worked at Lucky Lager Brewing his whole life. He wasn't really part of the brewing process, but definitely within the industry. So I grew up kind of in it and impressed by that whole thing. My other side of the family, my father's side, farmers back in the Dakotas, and they grew and harvested malting quality grain back then that was used in brewing. So, so yeah, the roots go deep on both sides of my family. And as I grew up and got into the age where I could actually drink and think about, you know, what would be fun and what would be a good hobby, I thought, man, brewing might be kind of a fun thing to try.
Sure.
And make my grandparents proud. And so that's kind of how I started doing it as a home brewer. And then it just kind of evolved into where it's at now, which, you know, we took a huge leap about 5 years ago from home brewing up to doing, you know, what you see behind us, 10 barrel system. Wasn't exactly scalable from 5 gallons to 310 gallons, but I learned how to do it pretty quick with the help of some good people. So, yeah, that's inspiration, I guess. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it answers.
Once you got into brewing, now you've been doing it for a while.
Oh man! So the biggest reward in brewing is, you know, we didn't have a tap house right away. We brewed, we self-distributed, then we signed on with a distributor, and ultimately, I should say, eventually, we got a tap house. Going into that tap house today and seeing people sit at tables and drink the beer that we made right here and seeing them smile and have a good time, that's the most rewarding part of it. And you know, not everybody likes all beers, and we get that, and we, you know, we hear it, and it's like, yeah, that's okay, not every beer is for everybody, but ultimately just like that smile on everybody's face and seeing everybody have a good time and enjoying the beer while they're having a good time. That's the big reward.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, the smell of a brewery and all that good stuff, that's also rewarding, and being out here and just being in that space. But ultimately, it's that seeing somebody enjoy your what you made.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
You guys have a real, like you could throw, like, a hearth in there, and it would just be, like, the coziest place ever. You know what I mean? Like, a little fireplace.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my fiance Jake, you guys know, but I think we're in there at least 2 times in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just become a favorite spot.
Good. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think that's true for a lot of people in Ridgefield itself.
Yeah.
But let's see. Do you enjoy coming up with the names of the beers? Who handles that? What variables are you working with to have the greatest impact? Oh, no, sorry. That's two questions.
That's okay.
Who names the beers?
That's okay.
The beer naming, yeah. That's kind of fun. It can be fun and it can be stressful. Ariane and I, we do all the beer naming, and, you know, we like to procrastinate. So sometimes we'll wait until just a few days before the beer's done and ready to be put out to market before we actually get serious about a name.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to put into words exactly what inspires us to come up with a name for a beer. A lot of the beers that we've come up with that we've named have literally been inspired by something significant in our life, whether it's a family member that's come down with cancer, or whether it's, you know, my grandfather who was a farmer or whatever. So those are some of the things that inspire the names of the beers. Others, it's just fun. Like, we just look for something that's fun, or maybe a twist on words that people, when they read it, they have to think, oh, did I see that right? Like, you know, for instance, our Norse code, Norse code hazy IPA. It's like, okay, Norse code, wait a minute, is that supposed to say Morse code? So there's little, you know, fun things that we try to do to make it interesting.
Yeah. Real quick.
Yeah.
I will not let it go. I actually came here for this one question. Kaveik.
Uh-huh.
What is that?
Kaveik,
I stole the question down there.
Yeah, that's one of the questions. Kaveik yeast. So, yeah, that's a really unique strain of yeast. Comes from Norway, which kind of helped contribute to the name of Norse Code, because Norse Code, our New England style IPA, we use the Kaveik yeast. Kaveik yeast is different from traditional ale yeasts in that it ferments at a very high temperature. You can almost you don't have to even control the temperature during fermentation on that one. It will, by doing that, it allows the yeast to really influence the flavor and aroma profiles of that beer, in terms of fruitiness, tropical, citrus, stuff like that. It puts on adds a real natural complexity to the beer. A lot of ale yeast just won't do that without the assistance of hops. But that particular yeast is pretty unique that way.
So is it grown in Norway or Sweden?
I imagine the original strains, that's where they come from.
Yeah.
But now they're propagated. The strains are propagated by a few other yeast distributors.
Okay, gotcha.
Where we get ours is actually it's an organic yeast company out of Portland called Imperial Yeast. And they do some pretty fun stuff over there with all kinds of different yeasts.
Sure.
The Kaveik is one of them that they work with.
Okay. I mean, we were talking to Jake, one of your bartenders, and he told us about it. And I don't think I got the name right in any of the videos that we put out.
No, he kept bringing it up and he wouldn't let it go, and you were saying it wrong. You spelled it wrong.
Yeah, he definitely spelled it wrong on the question, so yeah. I don't want to bring that up.
I will. Okay, so off camera, you were kind of telling us a little bit about, which is pretty obvious when you try beer that you guys have and you see your tap house and everything else. Like, you have your passion, right? You have a lot of passion behind it. You enjoy making, obviously, a variety of different beers. But if you had to put, and if you can, I guess, too, if you had to put your finger on what was the beer that you're like, hey, you know what? I think this is a really good beer. People are going to like this. Or, you know, what was your, I don't know, that first one, you're like, this is it. This is a good beer. You know what that one was?
The first beer, yeah. Goes back to my homebrewing days, actually. And I just started out homebrewing. The very first beer that I made was for a Christmas party at my brother's house. And I wanted to make some kind of a holiday ale that was more of like a Scottish type ale that was strong, a little bit stronger. And I wanted to add like a holiday twist to it with some cinnamon and nutmeg and some other spices. So I created this beer. It was just 5 gallons. I thought, you know what, if nobody likes it, we can dump it. It's only 5 gallons, whatever. But I made it and we named it Reindeer Whiz. And took it to the party, and you know, 5 gallons is just, you know, 40 or so pints. And it was gone, I think, just shy of 2 hours. We killed that keg, and everybody was like, okay, can we get another one of these kegs coming? And it's like, well, maybe next year. But yeah. So that was like my first, when I made that beer and it ended up turning out so good, I thought, you know, I can do this. This is really fun. And that was really rewarding too, to have that response from everybody at the party, and everybody loved it. So that's kind of what really motivated me to do it again and to keep going with it. And since then, I've just, you know, I was only homebrewing maybe 3 or 4 times a year was all. But yeah,
that seems like a, and obviously I don't work in the industry or really know what all goes into it, as which is probably clear from the one of the other videos we'll put up for you guys too. But that seems like a, like quite the feat of a beer to choose too. You're like, you're gonna throw like nutmeg and some other spices in there, a bunch of different variables that I feel like, so that's cool that you pulled that one off. Have you tried like brewing that beer again or since then? Or
I did that same beer a few other times for the same party that my brother would have annually for Christmas.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it turned out good every time. I kind of ultimately, I think after about 5 or 6 years, I just stopped doing it.
Yeah. You're like, I have this one dialed in.
Yeah, but I've never tried that one actually on the production, on the big scale here in the brewery yet. I don't know. It's maybe I'll do it. I don't know.
How old were you when you were interested
to try it?
I want to say I was probably 21.
Okay.
Give or take a year, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about the time we brewed ours too. Yeah. 22. Rite of passage.
Yeah.
You could homebrew it again, but make it exclusive, so it's like super small batch.
Yeah. That'd be very interesting. That would be fun. Yes.
Yeah. Now that you're further along in the process, can you tell us a bit about the distribution? And like, we noticed you're in the casino. That's a pretty big deal. So.
Yeah. So distribution, when we first started out back in late summer of 2019, we just did all self-distribution back then. Literally making phone calls, knocking on doors, loading kegs in the van and just delivering them day after day after day. Shortly after that, we realized, even though we wanted to do that for a few years, we realized that it was just getting to be a little overwhelming. So we went on with the distributor at the time. They helped us out. The casino was one of the very first customers that that we hooked up with during our self-distribution era, and it didn't take long to really develop a good relationship with those folks. Great people, great organization up there. We absolutely love them. They're like family to us, and we hope that they feel the same way about us. They've had our beer on tap ever since late 2019, and our relationship continues to grow with them. Currently, I think we have 2 or 3 taps on at the 360 bar, the stadium lounge, the sports bar there. We've got a couple taps in there, and they're getting ready to open up the new Rock and Brews restaurant. And we've just got told recently that we're going to have taps in there as well.
Thank you.
So great partner. Absolutely love them. If we ever decided to go back to self-distribution, they would be our sole focus to make sure that we uphold our relationship with them. And keep that going. But we currently distribute, we do self-distribute still. We drive up to Seattle once a month and deliver kegs up there. Just Ari and I do that. Down here in Southwest Washington, we have Craigstein Beverage that does all of our distribution here. And then we use Point Blank Distributing in Oregon, and they take care of all the Bend, Eugene, and Portland territories over there.
That's wonderful. And I know that you guys are doing this all by yourself. That's quite the feat.
Yeah, just the two of us out here doing all the brewing, all the cleaning, kegging. We do have friends and family that want to come out on canning days and help us out with canning. It's kind of a fun day to do that. But yeah, other than that, it's just the two of us out here doing our thing.
Yeah, great deal of respect for that.
Thank you.
Just these two, even all right.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, you guys are, so how many, you know, if you were just one per location in the casino, that's one, two, three at least, right?
You mean taps?
Yeah, 360.
Yeah, the 360. I think we have two taps there, static, meaning all the time. We have two at Stadium, and I believe they're going to put one or two in the Rockin' Brews. We've also had taps over at Tom's Urban before, too, one of the other restaurants in there. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of festivals there, too. Throughout the year, they constantly do festivals that are absolutely awesome. We have a special presence with them at these festivals. We build a huge saloon facade. It's like an old West saloon. We call it the Players Saloon. And we built it specifically, exclusively for the casino, for ALNA.
Really?
So, getting together with them prior to all the events, they make sure that we get set up kind of where we want and that we have a nice presence there. That's for everybody. Cool. And yeah, we get to leave our saloon set up pretty much all summer when they set up all the events on the rooftop of the garage. We set up our saloon for the first event, and then it gets to stay up throughout the whole summer for all the events.
And it just stays up on
stays up there all summer. And then when they tear down the tents and everything they have up there, then we go up and take it down for the winter. So, and then cool. The winter events that they have indoors in the ballroom, then we go and we set it up, tear it down, set it up, tear it down.
It goes in the ballroom too?
That requires our crew, friends.
Yeah, that's where we have to get people to come and help us. Yeah, it's 5 to 6 people to set it up and tear it down. And it's a mixture of family, friends, customers at the tap house that want to help us out.
And volunteer to pour.
Yep, and volunteering to pour too at our booth during the events.
Wow. So, is it like enclosed? Like the saloon itself?
It's pretty open. Yeah, it's pretty open. It's got a, you know, from afar, it just looks like an old West saloon. It has the top like an old West saloon. And then it has a bar, a big, huge wooden bar. And with a backdrop with our logo and stuff, lit up signs behind it. And then they just bring in a kegerator for us to put behind it. And then we just serve beer out of it. It's pretty fun.
That's so cool. I don't think I've ever been to a brew fest. I will now.
But yeah, I was going to say, it's getting added to the list of to-dos.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Not just a brew fest. They do like a barbecue fest. They do a wine and food festival. Do the holiday ale fest. They do Oktoberfest. So
yeah,
they're constantly doing something fun up there, and we're fortunate to be a part of it. Them, so
very cool. Correct me, obviously, if I'm wrong, but Lori Salzer.
Hmm? Salzer, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
She does all... At least from what I've seen, she does all of the art that's in your guys' brewery, or
tap house. Yep. Lori's a very, very good and close family friend of ours, and she's an amazing artist. She just picks up trinkets and things off the ground that she sees, little pieces of metal or whatever, and she just collects them. And then she'll get inspired to do a piece of art, and she might take the back of an old cupboard door or something and just start painting and adding these little trinkets and things that she's found over the years, and just comes up with some really incredible stuff. And so it was a very easy decision when we opened the tap house to accept her artwork and put it up on the walls. Yeah. It goes well with our decor and with our ambiance there, with our vibe, and customers love to look at it. It's all for sale. She's sold, I don't know, numerous pieces.
I have been eyeing that. I called it something else on videos, but I think it's a trout. Did we figure that out? I've got the picture. I will put it up right here on the video.
You're gonna have a lot of comments telling you about that.
I can't remember. This is why Reddit hates us.
Yeah. We do have, we love Lori and we love her artwork. We do have a couple other local artists, Ridgefield area artists, that are interested in wanting to get some artwork put up in our tap house as well. So we're going to make some changes. We're not going to remove Lori's by any mean, because we love to have her stuff in there, but we want to add some of the other local artists as well and feature their stuff too.
Yeah. So, and I guess piggybacking off of art then, so can you tell us a little bit of what goes into the design process for your guys' cans?
The cans?
Yeah.
A really good company, Riff Creative, they're called. They're right here in Vancouver. They helped us out with that. We basically, Ari and I told them that we wanted something that we could design that we could use for all of our beer styles, which is making a slight variation to each can for each beer style. So they came up with a cool design that we use today, and we just changed the color theme for each beer. So like, for instance, the amber, the color is an amber on the can. The IPA, it's a green for hops, and for the hazy, it's more of a kind of a cream colored for a hazy beer. We did that because, you know, we love art, obviously. We're way into art, and we would love the idea of like having a different art design for every can. But in terms of marketing and having our brand in the stores on the shelves and be able to be easily recognized by the consumer, we thought that having a can label, a can design that was consistent when you walk in the store and you're looking through the glass doors into the cooler on the shelves, and you see, okay, there's Ridgefield Craft, and it's the green can, that's the one I want, it's the IPA. So it's going to be really something that's really easy for the consumer, for the customers to go in and just recognize right away. Like, you know, all of us, when we walk into the store, we know how to find a Budweiser can, right?
Yes,
because it's very recognizable. It's all the same. Yeah. So we thought, you know, along the same lines there, keeping it really unique and crafty and artistic, but still trying to maintain a little bit of consistency so customers don't have to struggle so much.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't name the brand, but I have. There's a specific beer that's my favorite, you know, since I was 21. And every single time I go in the store, I cannot. It's always like they have two that are super popular and they look the exact same. And I think I've walked more than a handful of times with the wrong beers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the story behind the Ode to Baldwin beer?
Ode to Baldwin. That goes back again to my roots a little bit. So my grandfather, who was a farmer in North Dakota, we still have a family farm out there. It's all soybeans now. But back in his day, and my great-grandfather, they used to plant and harvest malting quality grain. It was wheat, a barley, and it would go, you know, they would harvest it and it would go out to a malting company and use for beer ultimately. My grandfather, when he bought his first pair of combines to harvest that grain, the brand name of the combine was Baldwin.
Oh, okay.
So we like to think that, you know, having our family roots kind of still being in that pioneering of that craft beer movement back in the old day, the Baldwin combine kind of helped pave the way for that by harvesting that grain and bringing it into the beer industry. And so Ode to Baldwin, you know, we're just paying tribute to the not only to the farmers who did all that, but to the machinery too, I guess, that they used to do that.
That created, I think, a huge domino effect.
Absolutely.
For you guys.
Yeah.
How'd you guys end up finding your amazing bartending occupation with this? How did you find your bartenders?
Bartenders, yeah.
We met Jake, and he is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, he ended up... I actually ended up knowing his wife. We went to school together.
But, okay.
You know, we came in, and we usually try to pick a slow day that we think is going to be slow. We came in, and we're like, hey, this is going to be super awkward, and I guess we can put that on the public street if you're not cool with this, but... Do you mind if we go film? And he's like, absolutely. He's like, I love this place. I love the owners. You know, you pick a spot, whatever. And then he's like, any questions you have, you let me know.
Yeah.
But he was really accommodating.
Yeah.
Jake's great. Jake was a friend before he was an employee. Quick story about how we met Jake. When COVID first started out, before we had the tap house, one of our main sources of revenue was filling and selling growlers of beer out of the brewery right here. We would arrange for people to place their orders online with us, and then we would let them know what time their growlers are going to be available. They would come through, drive through, and literally it was like a don't even need to get out of your car thing. Here's your growlers. They would Venmo us the money, and it was all good. One day, Jake and another good friend of ours, Max, came in and they didn't want to just do the drive-through system. They wanted to kind of get out and check the brewery out and chat. So they came out and we chatted for a little bit, and it was the end of the day. I was kind of done filling growlers for the day. They were kind of the last customers of the day. So we closed the doors and I had, you know, several beers on tap here in the brewery, and I asked if they wanted to sample some of the other beers other than the ones they came to get growlers of, and they were like, sure. So we sat around for, I think, 3 hours must have went by, just chatting and getting to know each other. And, you know, they were both fairly new to the area, to Ridgefield as well. So we got to know each other real well. Ari came into the picture and we were like, okay, we're going to open a tap house up. Who's going to help us with this? Who's going to come in and bartend? And Jake and Max, actually, they were like the first two that said, we want to come and work with you guys.
That's cool.
We want to come and help. We want to be a part of this. And their wives even wanted to also. Okay. So we actually hired Jake. We hired his wife, Max. Yeah, Maddie. And then Max, he ended up getting a new job right at that same time. So he wasn't able to. But Max's now wife, they just got married here last weekend, actually. His wife, Erin, came on with us, too.
Oh, cool.
So we had a really handful of really awesome people that we got to know before we even hired them.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, it was like we knew how we needed to hire and how we needed to bring staff on. It wasn't just going to be interview process. What's your history? Do you have experience? Okay, you're hired. It was going to be more of a, okay, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you come from? What do you like? What do you hate?
Sure.
You know, and we could right away, we could get a feel for whether or not they felt like family to us. And we like to think that our staff is our family.
Yeah.
We like to think our tap house is an extension of our home, and we wouldn't want anybody but our family to be representing us in our home.
Of course.
So Jake and everybody that works at our tap house today and everybody that has worked at our tap house has fit that mold of being part of our family and you know, fitting our culture and just fitting our jive and what we like to do and how we like to do things. Yeah, Jake's amazing. I think he'll talk, say nice things about us forever, and we'll say nice things about him forever. We love him and Maddie and their new little girl. But yeah, it's a great culture down there, and our employees really make. They really make our tap house what it is. We don't spend, Ari and I don't spend a lot of time down there bartending and customer facing. So we really rely on our staff to be our faces while we're not there. And they, everybody just does a great job of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think every time I walk in there, they're chatting with somebody that's, you know, clearly a regular. And
yeah.
They really know their whole life story.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. That goes to being a small community too. I mean, it's
yeah.
pretty easy to know everybody around here in Ridgefield.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Jake always knows exactly what's going on too. He's super informative. He also told us he had his own beer with you guys, Blueberry Stash.
Yeah, the Blueberry Stash. Yeah, we made a blueberry blonde ale a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And we were having a really hard time with the naming of that beer. And I don't know, I think we hung out with Jake and Maddie one night playing cards or something. And Jake has the mustache thing that, you know, it's kind of that, I don't know what you call it, but it's the one that, you know, you see that some of the guys put the beeswax in it. Jake's got one of those kind of mustaches, or used to anyways. I think he's kind of trimmed it up a little now, but we thought, oh, we got to do something fun with that. We got to figure out a way to pull that into this beer. And so Blueberry Stash is what we named it. And our friends over at Riff Creative, who did our can designs, they actually came up with a really cool little poster for it, with Jake riding a blueberry with his big exaggerated mustache. Yeah. So not too many of those posters flying around, but there is a couple of them in the tap house.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen those, but that's hilarious.
No, I remember he was super proud to tell us. He's like, it's not on right now, but he's like, I'll let you know when it comes back.
Yeah, every year he's like, okay, when are we making Blueberry Stash? When are we making Blueberry Stash?
The second we said podcast, he's like, you're not
going to
believe it. I have a beer.
He's like, I'm more famous than you.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
Well, I mean, I think there's one that we might have skipped over that's kind of a fun one. Obviously, you guys spend a lot of time in your brewery, in your, you know, in and around your tap house and in the industry. But do you have and I don't know if you can say favorite or whatnot, but do you have your go-to spot that's not your own brewery? Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, it's Barrel Mountain Brewing.
Okay.
Barrel Mountain Battleground is our neighbor. The folks over at Barrel Mountain, Troy Stegman, the owner, he has been a mentor for me and for us from day one. When I was building this brewery, he came out and gave me his two cents on a lot of things that were really important to me. During our whole distribution change that we went through last year, I don't know if we were the first person he called, but Troy called us right away and said, "Hey, I've been through this before. You're not alone. I'm gonna help you guys. I'm gonna be right there with you every step of the way." Just outside of just Troy, but the whole entire crew over there at Barrel Mountain, they're just awesome people. It's a great culture. I think, you know, we model our culture at our tap house. I think after what they do over there, I think they have a really good following, just like we do, of their local Battleground community, and we have our Ridgefield community, and we love to go to both of their spots. They have a brand new spot and up in St. John's. Pizza place up there. We love to go and eat, and their beer is amazing. So aside from their beer being amazing, the people are amazing. They're just amazing people, and amazing. Everything about them is great, and we appreciate not only that mentoring, but just that inspiration that they've given us over the years. And there's a lot of breweries, honestly, within Southwest Washington that we really respect and appreciate. I can't think of one that we don't, but Barrel Mountain definitely stands out as the prominent one for us.
Yeah. Have you guys seen, you guys have been to the new location for Barrel Mountain? Yep. Did you guys try their pizza there?
We didn't have the pizza. What did you have?
We had a beet salad.
Oh, yeah. Beet salad and a burger.
There you go.
I think, yeah.
I was like, wait, yeah. It's
phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Their burgers are so good.
Their pizza is really good, too. Yeah. We did a date night last week or something. And on top of that, they had a really cool bar top. I don't know if you guys saw that. It's like epoxy, and it looks like the ocean.
Yeah. We didn't make it that far.
We made that far, yeah.
I guess I'm revealing a lot about myself. Have you seen the bar top? Well, I think that about wraps it up, guys. This has been the Cold Slice Podcast. This is Richfield Craft Brewing, Steve and Ari. Thanks for watching. Definitely check out the other videos that we put out, or will put out. I don't know when this one's coming out. But it is Richfield Craft Brewing Week, so give all of them a look. And yes, what's your address?
Address? 120 North 3rd Avenue.
120 North 3rd Avenue.
That's downtown, yep.
That's where the tap is. Third and Pioneer, right in historic downtown Ridgefield. Can't miss our spot. It's the building with all the stripes and big white tent on the patio in the wintertime. So.
Right next to El Rancho Viejo.
Right next to El Rancho Viejo, yep.
And the fire department.
Fire department. The old fire station right across the street, yep.
Yeah.
And the skate park.
So there you go. Check them out. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.